Distant Dog Barking, Episode 8, written by D.D. McWolf. Sam awoke in the dim light of the double-wide with a sense of foreboding. Yanked from a deep sleep to full awareness too quickly, it felt like the bends. His panicked breathing and pounding heart seemed so loud, he felt for sure it'd wake Kaylee, but she lay peacefully sleeping beside him. Both fully dressed and under separate blankets, they shared the only mattress, a queen size, which they'd pulled down off the box spring out of sight from the window. 9 days had passed since he arrived, and they'd spent the time consuming the remainder of the staples originally stashed by Chris, playing board games, reminiscing, and planning meals they'd cook one day if and when the world returned to a semblance of normalcy. But this feeling of dread was a first, and Sam knew something was awry. Quietly slipping from the mattress, he crawled to the window on the west side of the trailer, and without touching the blackout curtains, he peeped through a slim gap between them. A hint of dawn illuminated the unkempt yard from the trailer to the trees flanking the road, and in the middle of it stood a skinny child, staring directly toward him, as though waiting for him to look out of the window, as if it had summoned him. Almost. Its pale face seemed to lack eye sockets, and though it was not actively threatening, Sam was instantly, thoroughly creeped out and wondered if the kid knew he was watching it, or if it was just staring at the trailer trying to assess if anyone was inside. Sam was looking through such a narrow parting in the curtains that he couldn't imagine the kid could see him, and then he realized perhaps it wasn't a kid at all because its head and other proportions were that of an adult. Yet in height it couldn't have been more than 2.5 feet tall, maybe 3. It was just off somehow. His curiosity slowly replaced his sense of doom, and he squinted to further scrutinize this ghostly figure. It seemed naked, though no physical features were visible. Just then a second white face popped up on the other side of the glass, just 2 inches from Sam's. And Sam yelped and leapt back, tripping against the box spring and falling onto the wooden frame with a clatter. Kaylee sat bolt upright on the mattress and gasped, "Sam, what is it?" "Jesus, fuck." "I don't know," he whispered, panicked all over again. Then looking around at her, "Little kids, I think." Kaylee stared blankly, unsure of what to make of that. "We need to leave," Sam exclaimed, "as soon as it's like we're leaving. We'll go to Red Fox's cabin." "What exactly did you see out there?" Kaylee asked again. 2 kids. Fucking creepy. They were kids, I think. One jumped up at the window. They had white faces." "Seriously?" she asked. "Masks or face paint?" "Fuck knows. Who cares? Let's pack." Kaylee struggled to get up, rubbing her lower back with her hand as she did so, and Sam helped her step clear from the spongy mattress. Stooping, she sidled over to the window where she cautiously peered through the same crack in the curtains. "I don't see anything," she said after a pause. "Good thing. That shit could induce labor." "Labor of the bowels or the baby?" she asked. "Ha, either. Just stay away from the windows, Kaylee. Honestly, it was creepy as fuck." Without speaking, they quietly gathered their few belongings and stuffed them into their respective packs. Sam using an old sling bag he found in the closet, and Kaylee her bug-out bag prepared for her by Ryan. Seems like months since his death, she thought to herself, though it was barely more than 2 weeks. Time slows drastically when you're holed up in a box. She presumed that's why solitary confinement was the punishment it was, because time grinds to an excruciating crawl and all but stops. She reckoned a prisoner released from years in a cell would re-enter the world as from a vacuum, propelled forward into a future time having missed out on all the fun. These 2 short weeks for her felt like an unquantifiable duration. Whether it was minutes, hours, days, or months, who knew, but thank Christ she was minutes from walking out, and who cared the consequences? She might be stepping out of the frying pan, but she'd happily risk the fire right now. And Sam knew of somewhere to go. Hell, that was awesome. 2 weeks ago, her only alternative was being eaten by critters in the forest, but now survival was a possibility, and she'd fucking take it, so no persuasion necessary. She could feel a childlike excitement welling up within, like as a kid skipping class when you should be at school drudging over math equations. She cinched up her pack, then swapped out the mag in her Kel-Tec for one more freshly loaded. Ryan had taught her that magazine springs could get creaky and cause a misfire, so she unloaded, then reloaded the two extra mags with their 17 rounds each of 9mm and slipped them one into each pocket of her cargoes. 51 rounds should be enough to get her safely to Sam's destination, which he said was 6 miles along the cliff face to Index. "Keen to leave, huh?" Sam said with a grin, observing her enthusiasm. "Fuck yes, no matter what's out there. Because I will fucking kill you if I have to stay here another hour," she fired back, also with a smile. Then stopping to look at him, "No, seriously, Sam, thanks for coming for me and for getting me out. I don't know what I'd have done if you hadn't." "You'd have found a way," Sam replied. "I doubt it. I'm not strong like Ryan. He's the one who should have survived. Except for the baby, of course," she added quickly, feeling badly for her momentary lapse in maternal instinct. After shouldering her pack, Sam checked her straps and zips and tied everything off so it wouldn't flap and slap on their way up the trail. Silence was imperative. He then took her Kel-Tec and gave it a once-over. "It's fine. It's ready," she said defensively. "I know, but check and double-check in case you've missed something. Your rifle is your life." "Can I check yours?" she asked challengingly. "Anytime," he replied with a libidinous smirk. "Hey, dirty flirt," she said, blushing and turning away. She quietly unbolted the door of the double wide and cracked it open. "Almost daylight," she whispered. "Sun will come over the horizon any minute." Sam peered over her shoulder and told her, "Let me go first. Give me a second." Stepping out, he panned around him with his AR at low ready, and after a full 360, he gestured with his hand for Kaylee to follow. Closing the door behind her and locking it with the key, she followed Sam off into the trees toward Index. An hour later, they crossed the power line easement in single file toward the fire pit where Sam's mysterious guide had chased off those punks. Clearly, the kids hadn't returned because their belongings still lay scattered about, and Sam and Kaylee stepped carefully around the items into the tree line toward the head of the game trail that would take them along the cliff face. Sam now let Kaylee pass him to take the lead while he stopped momentarily to check the rear, and at that moment a faint, buzzing sound caught his attention. Its undulating tone vaguely resembled a mosquito, but he recognized it as something more distant and mechanical. "That's a drone," he thought, and looking up caught a brief glimpse of something white in the sky about 40 feet over the tree canopy. It was hovering around in a 10-foot radius, clearly trying to get a view of him and Kaylee, and Sam looked back out into the easement for signs of its controller, but the coast was clear, so they were obviously not within line of sight. "Kaylee, that's a drone overhead. Can you manage double time?" he said, catching up behind her. "Really?" she said, looking up and around. "Who's watching us?" "No idea, but I think they're coming up behind. Take a drink of water and let's pick up the pace a little," Sam replied soberly. Kaylee knew this to be his serious tone. "Okay," she said, slipping her bottle from the side pocket of her pack. "Can't we shoot it down?" she added as she unscrewed the cap and took several long slugs. "Probably could, but would be easier with a shotgun. Let's get moving, and if I can get a close-up shot out in the open, I'll take it." The drone continued to follow. They were catching glimpses of it high above the trees as they picked along the trail, and when the path finally met the base of the cliffs, the trees opened up in spots, so the drone would pull way back about 150 yards and zigzag, making itself an almost impossible target, and Sam didn't want to waste ammo trying to hit it. Whomever was flying it, they knew to keep a safe distance when the trees thinned out. In fact, it almost seemed they were pulling a lame duck act, possibly trying to draw fire. Then, without warning, it would retreat and vanish back the way they'd come, only to return 5 minutes later. "What was that about?" Sam wondered. "Ah, battery changes," he realized. They were switching batteries out every 20 minutes and resuming the chase, and Sam began to notice the switch times were getting shorter, which meant whomever was following them was getting closer by about a minute each time. But he didn't share this insight with Kaylee. Being heavily pregnant, she was already struggling in the morning sun and sweating profusely and cussing under her breath whenever she tripped on a rock or tree root. This is fucking crazy, Sam thought to himself. Whomever was on their trail knew they were armed, but still, they got closer. It was looking more and more like he and Kaylee were about to find themselves in a firefight, and Sam couldn't do anything except urge Kaylee on faster and faster. And then he had a thought as they entered the next stand of trees. On the next battery charge, he needed to watch for a nook in the granite that would conceal them from the bird's eye view of the drone, but still offer a clear shot back along the path towards their pursuers. If these assholes assumed their prey was still running, they'd walk straight into this ambush. Who knew how many there'd be, but if he could just stop a couple of them, that might slow up their pursuit, or, God willing, even send them running. With Kaylee about to collapse, it was worth a try, so Sam slowed her pace a little. It's okay. Take it easy, Kaylee. I have a plan. Short of breath and unable to reply, Kaylee slowed down to a steady march, and when the drone peeled away for a battery change, Sam pushed her in under a large granite slab leaning against the rock face. And checking back along the trail to ensure their pursuers weren't already within view, he removed his knife and quickly whittled off two pine boughs, which he then positioned on the side facing back toward the pursuers. Hunkering in beside her, Sam arranged the boughs to allow for a window that they could both shoot through. It was almost the perfect sniper's hide, with a clear view back 70 yards where the trail came down a short slope out of the trees, meaning whomever was chasing them would be a sitting duck for a few seconds before they'd be able to scramble back up the slope for cover. "Control your breathing," Sam told her. "Slow your panting. Keep it slow and steady." "Okay," Kaylee said, nodding breathlessly. "When those fuckers come down that slope into view, we wait, okay? Wait until they get to the foot of the slope, you see, where it enters the sun out of the pines." "Yeah, I see it," Kaylee confirmed. "Good, and don't shoot until I do, okay? Then empty your mag on them and make every shot count, okay?" Yeah, I got it." "How many you think there are?" she asked. "Dunno, 2 or 3 maybe," he said, keeping it low key so as not to scare her. "Okay, let's just wait." A buzzing sound caused Sam to look up, and he saw the drone barrel past over the canopy and fade out down the trail to the east. Then, 90 seconds later to the west, they had a visual. Something bobbing up and down behind a knoll on the trail. "Helmets," Sam said. "More than one." Kaylee gasped and immediately began panting again. "Stay calm," he told her, just as a line of people in crouching single file topped the rise and descended the trail into view. For a second, Sam read them as military, but then their mismatching gear told him this was a civilian militia, but in an oppress and suppress approach. He leveled his rifle, and as the centipede of combatants entered the sunlit patch at the foot of the knoll, he pulled thrice in binary mode, sending 6 rounds at the first man. He crumpled and fell limp face first into the dry dirt, sending up a cloud of dust, and the centipede of men peeled apart to each side and promptly vanished into the scrub. Kaylee hadn't fired a shot. "Fuck, there's got to be 20 of them," Sam exclaimed. "Sorry," Kaylee apologized. "They were just too fast." "Fuck yeah, that's some scary shit," Sam whispered, unnerved. "What do we do?" Kaylee asked. "Just wait," he told her. And so they waited. Not a movement from downrange. It was like the men had vanished into thin air. But Sam knew they were lying low to observe, and after a couple of minutes he realized the men hadn't seen where the shots had come from, and so had nowhere to direct return fire. For all they could know, Sam and Kaylee might be up on the cliff face, or further down the hill, deeper into the forest. And because they were clearly trained, they would not expose their positions by risking a shot. "You know what? They don't know where we're at," Sam whispered. "So here's what we do. We wait for them to bring the drone back. Then we slip out the back, right here," he said, gesturing with his hand, "and we stay close to the cliff face. We're on a corner, so they won't see us retreat. And we put as much distance between them and us as we can, then set up again like this further along the trail. Fucking drone." Kaylee nodded at the plan, A few tense minutes later, they could hear the buzzing of the drone as it returned, and looking out the back of their granite slab shelter, Sam could see it coming down the trail toward them, about 50 yards away, and 4 feet off the ground. And getting lower by the second, it finally hit the dirt and tumbled to a stop about 10 yards from them. Sam turned to Kaylee and grinned. "Their drone's down," he whispered. "Seriously? Battery must be dead. Let's go." Crawling out of the backside of the slab hide and hugging the rock face, they crept away, and when they passed the drone, Kaylee went to stomp it, but Sam pulled her back. "Don't," he whispered. "They'll know we were right here. Better to keep them guessing. Hopefully they'll think that we're out of drone range. Let's go." Another mile and 28 minutes later, there was still no sign of their pursuers, and Kaylee and Sam slowed their pace. "You hear anything behind us?" Kaylee asked as she led the way along a particularly gnarly stretch of game trail. "Where's their drone?" "Busted, probably. Hopefully." "Who do you think they are, honestly?" she asked. "No idea. Been wondering myself. They're not ours. I mean, military. Look like some kind of militia. You know how it is in the backwoods. You get all sorts of homegrown groups of survivalists. I bet this is happening all over this country right now." "Jesus, I'm sure you're right," she agreed. "I know I am. Where I grew up in Texas, we had one group of about 100 men and women, well-funded with oil money and all armed to the teeth. They had gear even Fort Hood didn't have at that time. Can't imagine what they're up to right now, but I'll bet they're running shit down there." "So what would a militia wind up here? This is the boonies," Kaylee asked, cursing the trail beneath her feet as she stumbled for the umpteenth time. Sam grabbed her arm to stop her from falling. "Careful." "Shit. Sorry. Thanks. Tactical advantage," he continued. "The fuckers that, the guys that tried to hurt Red Fox told him this was a bottleneck, a prime location." Sam had almost screwed up and let it slip about Chris's killers. "Fuck. Think before you speak," he reminded himself. The trail suddenly took a right-angle turn to the left, around a column of rock, and Sam was surprised to see that they'd arrived at Red Fox's cabin already, and he stopped Kaylee with a hand on her shoulder. "Kaylee, take a rest here." "Is that the cabin?" she asked. "Yeah, but let me go down and check it's safe. You sit and finish this," he said, handing her his water bottle. He smoothed out a spot between two boulders and helped her take a seat down out of sight. Then, quickly cutting a spindly pine bough, he placed it over her head, supported on each end by the rocks. She knew this was to shelter her from the sun in case the drone returned, and she smiled at him gratefully. "Keep your Kel-Tec on hand. I'll just be a few minutes," he said, then spun on his heel and scrambled down the scree to the grassy embankment above Red Fox's cabin. She watched him go, ready his rifle, and strategically approach the structure. "Red Fox! Red Fox, you hear?" Sam called out in a loud whisper as he cautiously circled the cabin. Cornering the west end of the porch, he came face to face with the muzzle end of Red Fox's Winchester. "I knew that was you, Shoots 4. You're a lousy engine," Red Fox said, lowering his rifle. Sam smiled up at him. "You okay?" Sam asked. "Always okay," Red Fox replied. "Don't want to alarm you, but there's a militia group of 20 men coming up the trail behind us." "Oh, great. You lead them here?" Red Fox asked. "No, they pushed us up the trail. They're using a drone to recce the way ahead. I think I shot one, but these fuckers are serious. Not like that last 4. "You think they're connected?" Red Fox asked. "Yeah, probably. They've probably gone into full offensive, you know, since their buddies didn't return. I hate to tell you, but I think they'll try to clear this area and take your cabin. You gotta pack a bag, Red Fox. We gotta go. I have Kaylee with me. She's hiding up in those rocks." "The pregnant woman?" Red Fox asked. "Yep. She must be strong if you dragged her all the way here from May Creek." "She is, but she's near the end of her tether now. Let me pack a couple things. How long we got?" "Dunno, 15 minutes maybe." Red Fox turned to enter his cabin, but Sam interrupted. "Red Fox, Shoots 4, he answered, turning back. "Don't tell Kaylee that I shot those 4 guys." Red Fox smiled, knowingly. "You didn't tell her about her brother, did you?" "No, I couldn't," Sam admitted. "I understand. Secret's safe with me, Shoots 4. And he turned back to pack. "Oh," Sam added. And maybe, you know, call me Sam so she doesn't put two and two together. And gets four? Red Fox asked with a sly grin. Yeah, Sam replied with a half smile. You got it, Sam. Give me a minute. And he disappeared into his cabin. Placing his Winchester on the table, Red Fox knelt to fish the wooden box from beneath his bed and removed the Chouanito hex stick. Raising it to his lips, he kissed it ceremoniously and uttered a brief prayer in Wenatchee as he wrapped it in a bandana and slipped it into his buckskin shoulder bag along with his pipe and a bag of birch bark and tobacco smoking mix. From his bedhead, he lifted his holster and attached it around his waist, cinching the buckle tight whilst sucking in his gut to make sure it wouldn't slip free. Running his palm around his belt, he checked that all the bullet loops were full, and then did the same with the revolver, opening the loading gate and spinning the cylinder to see all chambers were primed with brass and reading 44 Magnum and not 44 Special. He'd need the heartier round for what they had coming. Filling a canteen from the kitchen tap, he retrieved 3 cans of peaches with pool-ring tops from a cupboard, lifted his rifle from the kitchen table and stepped out to the porch where Sam was now seated on the rocker, checking mags and returning them to his backpack. You ready? Sam asked. As I'll ever be, Red Fox quipped, handing him 2 of the peach cans. This all the food you think we'll need? Sam asked sarcastically. For a little energy snack. I'll cook you dinner later. When we get back, Red Fox retorted, to which Sam laughed, assuming this to be a joke. And I'm thinking you have a safe way out of here, Sam queried. Up is always safest, Red Fox said. Into the forest? No. Up the Chouanito shooting gallery. You mean the rock face? Just shut your trap and follow me, Sam, Red Fox said, correcting himself. They stepped off the porch and, rounding the cabin to the backside, Sam scanned the skies for any sight of a drone before leading the way up to the cliff face to retrieve Kaylee. She was sleeping when they got there, and Sam handed her a fresh bottle of water, and opening a can of peaches, he handed it to her. Kaylee, this is Red Fox. Kaylee looked up at the old Indian and felt instantly at ease. His face resonated with a stern tranquility, and his eyes, creased with experience, promised safe passage like a lighthouse amidst craggy rocks. Hi, she said. Hello, young lady. Let's get you to safety, he replied as if in affirmation of her thoughts. Sam pulled her to her feet and Red Fox led the way, east along the foot of the cliff, picking through the boulders with the assuredness of someone who'd lived there their whole life on these slopes and learned every inch of granite in all its rainbow hues. Kaylee slurped from the can of peaches, relishing every bite of sugary sweetness as she gazed trance-like at Red Fox's feet ahead of her. All she needed to do was place her feet in the exact spots, and with Sam safeguarding her from behind, she felt she could now relax and switch off her brain, because something strange was now happening within her body, some new physical sensation that felt simultaneously euphoric and nauseating. As they walked, Red Fox pointed to a pile of brush piled up against the rock face alongside and said, "Larder." Sam didn't know what that meant, but through the branches he could just make out the oxided side of some large container within and assumed Red Fox had something hidden there, but he was starting to get fearful and didn't query further. He kept checking the skies nervously and looking back to confirm they hadn't yet been caught up to, but shortly Red Fox stopped and turned into a narrow cut in the wall, which on the inside opened up into a chamber the size of your average bedroom closet. But looking up, Sam could see this was what climbers might call a chimney, a fissure in the rock opening to the sky 500 feet above them. And if someone were not inside the cut, right here, they could not know it existed. 4 large boulders had fallen in prehistory, and these comprised the back of the closet, but also provided a giant stairway to a narrow ledge, and the head of a zigzagging trail that switched back and forth through the depth of the chimney to the top. Kaylee handed her empty peach can back to Sam and told the man, "Don't worry about me. I'll follow every step you take. Just lead the way." Red Fox turned and nodded to her appreciatively. "Try not to look down. Just focus forward on my feet, okay, young lady?" "Got it," she replied with a nod. Sam sighed, nervous, disbelieving that they were actually going to do this, but he seconded Kaylee's affirmation. No time to be a pussy, he thought. Lead the way, old man. At Red Fox's cabin, a drone hovered noisily overhead, whilst within the tree line 23 heavily armed men moved stealthily into place to surround it. From their POV, the cabin was possibly harboring a number of armed persons intent on protecting home and hearth, but this mountainside was theirs to take. This position was key in establishing their territory. This spectacular crown of Cascade Peaks was to be their domain in this new, unrested land once called America. These men could protect and hold this zone against government forces who wouldn't have the time or inclination anyway to retrieve it. Because, for what? A bunch of national parks and 150 locals scattered up and down the North Fork Skykomish River Valley, which half the time never got basic utilities anyhow. There was enough wild game and resources here to sustain their militia for a decade or more, and once their compound was built, they'd move their women and children up too. But for now, they needed to eliminate the occupants of this little cabin and any other household that resisted down the hill in Index proper. Three men, clad from head to toe in body armor, suddenly stood up from the tall meadow grasses and roll-footed toward the cabin with their rifles at low ready ahead of them. Rapidly climbing the creaky porch stairs, the lead man kicked open the door and they all vanished inside. "Clear!" one shouted from within after a few seconds. The meadow erupted as men stood up from various points throughout and relaxedly started ambling toward the cabin to assemble. High above, Red Fox stepped out onto an overhanging wedge of blue granite and gazed down to his cabin below. He sighed, deeply disappointed at the sight of the men milling around as if they owned the place. He studied the view for a few minutes, then turned back to Sam and Kaylee, who were seated, leaning against a sun-warmed ledge rock, sipping from a canteen. "Sam," Red Fox beckoned. "You okay?" Sam asked, turning to Kaylee. "Yeah, for now," she replied. He stood and walked the few yards to join Red Fox on the precipice. "Shit," he said, looking down at the scene. "Yep," Red Fox whispered. "Do you see? Just to the right of the cabin chimney." "The drone," Sam said after squinting to locate it. "Yeah, you think you could knock it out from here?" "You mean shoot it down? How far is that?" "About 700 feet if you include the banking from the foot of the cliff to the cabin," Red Fox replied. "Tough shot. It's pretty small and moving. Anyway, they probably have more than one, so I think it's best if we don't give away our position." "That's the point," Red Fox said. "We need to scare them off. We need to be home by dinner. I don't want those lily livers living in my house." Sam looked at him, assuming at first he was kidding, but the expression on Red Fox's face dispelled any notion of a joke. "You're serious?" Sam exclaimed. "As a heart attack," Red Fox fired back. "Why? We take one shot at that thing and they'll lob 1,000 rounds up here," Red Fox. "Yeah, but they can't hit us. And there's no way they'll find the route up. Meanwhile, we can pick 'em off, one by one." Sam shook his head dubiously. "I don't know," he said. "That's a hell of a risk. Besides, they're all going to scatter like cockroaches, and no way we can pick 'em all off from here." "What's wrong with you? You can't make a 250-yard shot with that fancy rifle of yours?" Red Fox asked, teasing. "Not if I can't see 'em," Sam said, defensively. "In a couple of hours, the sun will be behind the trees and the meadow. It falls into shadow. Right at that moment, we take a shot. You'll see their muzzle flashes, and then you'll have something to aim at. Sound good?" Red Fox asked, decisively. Sam nodded as he thought quietly to himself for a moment. Okay, a couple of hours would buy him enough time to think up another excuse not to participate in this harebrained scheme of Red Fox's. And meantime, Kaylee could take the time to rest and eat more peaches. But Red Fox was right about one thing. After nightfall, they'd need to shelter from the cold up here, and that insane trail down the chimney would be impossible in the dark. So yes, he'd need to strategize fast. Let's take a rest for a while and see how we feel about that at dusk, maybe, he said in partial agreement and slightly condescendingly, but Red Fox wasn't being budged. You'll be fine, son. You'll see, he said, clapping Sam on his shoulder. You know, I reckon the worst shortcoming of your generation is you're the first in history, and I mean the history of all life on Earth, not to listen to your elders. Not only do you not listen, but you treat us with disdain. You know, I always wished the Great Spirit would send a virus, especially for millennials. Jesus, to kill us all off, that's nice, Sam fired back, smiling but slightly offended. No, just to make you polite, Red Fox replied, gripping Sam's arm and smiling fondly to salve the insult. An hour later, Kaylee slept on a perfectly suited slab of granite while Sam dozed beside her, face to the sun, watching Red Fox smoking atop a round boulder near the cliff edge. The old engine sat on one ankle, resting his head on a knee and rocking ever so slightly whilst chanting softly and taking occasional puffs from his ceremonial pipe. As he dozed, Sam started to lucid dream that Red Fox was in fact speaking to a tall figure on the other side of the rock in a soft, sing-song voice. But rubbing his eyes, he saw that Red Fox was perfectly alone, still rocking gently and chanting, and wagging his hex stick. Then again, after closing his eyes, the same dream. But with eyes open, Sam saw no one except Red Fox. Weird, Sam thought as he rolled to his left toward Kaylee and let sleep overtake him. A loud bang woke Sam and Kaylee abruptly, startled. Fuck! Sam yelled, sitting upright in time to see a drone spiraling out of control and disappearing down over the cliffside. Red Fox turned to Sam, smiling. See that? I got it, he shouted, grinning like a weasel in a henhouse. Kaylee groaned and rolled onto her side, curling up in a fetal position. Sam jumped up, rifle in hand, and ran to the edge to look down. The drone, it came straight up. They knew we were here. How'd they know? Sam yelled, angry and confused. Oh, the Choanito threw a tree down upon them, Red Fox replied, and Sam snapped around to look at him with his mouth wide open, too dumbfounded to speak. Now they have no more eyes on us. Let's shoot some fish in a barrel, Red Fox said gleefully. From the shadows of the meadow below, Sam noticed muzzle flashes, and he and Red Fox were suddenly dusted with corresponding bullet splatter from the rocks around their feet, and they ducked at the zip, zip, zip of rounds passing by their heads. Get down, Red Fox shouted, pulling Sam back from the edge. Tuck in tight, aim for their muzzle flashes. Whereupon he dropped behind a boulder and started taking aimed shots at the assailants below, chuckling slightly after each boom of his rifle. For a moment, Sam was too furious and too flummoxed to do anything but gaze at the old man in utter disbelief as the zinging of passing bullets continued. Just when he thought he'd never be deployed, here he was in the middle of a battle. Jesus, but this wasn't the Wild West, so Red Fox's unnecessary engagement with 24 combatants, using a lever gun, no less, was pure medieval madness. Besides modern weaponry, there were whole new rules of engagement for the 21st century meant to minimize risk of death. So what the fuck was this? This was nuts. But unable to resist the camaraderie, he crept forward anyway to a nook between two rocks and proceeded to take shots of his own wherever he saw a muzzle flash, just as Red Fox had instructed, though there was no way of knowing if his rounds were connecting. But what the fuck? Red Fox was right. This was fun. But before he'd emptied his first mag, a long wail from Kaylee behind them caused both Sam and Red Fox to stop shooting and spin around, ready to engage whomever was attacking her. But she was alone, upright on her rock, seated in a pool of wet, clutching her belly. The men looked at each other and in unison uttered, Oh, shit. Red Fox laid down his rifle and walked over to her. Sam froze and gratefully murmured his prayers of thanks to God as he assumed Red Fox was rushing to attend to midwife duties. But as Red Fox crouched down in front of Kaylee, he turned back and beckoned for Sam to join them. Her dam's busted, Sam. No kidding, Sam thought, amused, though, at the metaphor. Help me move her. Sam nodded, anxiously now, knowing what Red Fox was about to ask of him, and together they scooped Kaylee up in a hospital lift, each locking hands under her back and beneath her knees, and Red Fox led the way over to a thicket of densely congregated pines dripping in thick moss. Ducking inside, they lowered her onto a smooth flat rock in the middle of the trees, and Red Fox hastily peeled moss from a trunk which he laid on the ground, forming a shallow, mossy basin. "Give me your shirt, son," Red Fox ordered. Sam immediately complied and handed it to the old Indian. Red Fox laid it out flat in the mossy basin and turned to Sam with instructions as Kaylee moaned and rocked back and forth. "Do everything I say, okay?" Sam nodded, scared. He'd rather be killing baddies than birthing babies. "You're completely hidden in here. No one will hurt you. But no matter what you hear, do not leave this stand of pines, okay?" Sam nodded, confused. He thought he was getting instructions on how to deliver a kid, not cryptic battlefield orders. "Okay, okay, so what about getting the kid out?" Sam asked urgently. Red Fox smiled. "I'm getting to that," he said. "Take her pants off and have her squat over this moss basin, like she's taking a pee, okay? Okay, don't let her lie down. The white man way is painful. The Indian way is natural and easier on both the mother and the child." "Got it," Sam acknowledged. "The baby will birth into your shirt," he continued, pointing down at the moss and cloth arrangement. Kaylee moaned again and began sucking in and out as she recalled her prenatal training. "Don't cut the cord without cinching off each side of the cut with some string or something. So clean your blade with a flame. You got a lighter?" he asked. Sam nodded. "Okay, good. After the cord's cut, wrap the baby up tight in your shirt and use that sweatshirt that's attached to your backpack also. The afterbirth will come quickly after." Sam nodded again. "So you know what to do. And don't come looking for me no matter what you hear," Red Fox reiterated. "Yeah, I got it." Red Fox turned to exit the thicket, and suddenly, fearful he might forget something in his panic, Sam hurriedly asked, "Red Fox, what happens if I forget to, I don't know, tie off the cord or something?" Ducking low under a branch to exit the pines, Red Fox turned and smiled at Sam. "You ever blow up a balloon and let it go?" "Uh-huh, yeah," Sam replied seriously, then laughed at the visual. Red Fox nodded and confirmed. "Just tie it off." "I'll remember," Sam said. As Sam helped Kaylee undress from the waist down and squat over the mossy basin, she looked up at him in mild embarrassment and saw in his eyes only fear and compassion as he held a steady gaze with hers. He was a gentleman. Despite being a young man and a warfighter, he was keeping him above the belt. She remembered that of the Lone Star State. Texan men were old-school mannered, and Sam, well, he was a true Texan, she thought gratefully. Then the next wave of contractions hit her, and she forgot all that and closed her eyes to brace. This felt like constipation from hell, with a basketball-sized stool that would rip her from bow to stern. "Oh, Jesus, here we go again." And she gripped Sam's hands as tight as she could in this fresh wave of contractions to the sudden audio of gunfire. Crackling like celebratory fireworks and breathing rapidly in and out, she sensed adrenaline dilate every pore, and the baby slid down to expose its crown to the late afternoon air. Air kissed and infused with the soothing aroma of balsam from the surrounding forest. And then, as if in perfect sympathy to her pain, the world outside their thicket suddenly erupted, and she opened her eyes to see Sam's, inches from hers, sharing the same surprise, yet holding firm and reassuring whilst branches were being ripped from trees, and trees were ripped from the ground, and boulders were ripped from their ancient resting places. And then began the rolls of booming thunder, emanating up from the meadow far below, punctuated by the cries of many terrified men. Then another roll of thunder, and the whole mountain shook, and more wailing and gnashing of teeth, and Sam and Kaylee locked their gaze, unblinking, and Kaylee cried out once, twice, three times, punctuating the orchestra of abysmal screams and the boom of mammoth stone and timber ordnance crashing down onto the combatants below. And as her baby slid from within her onto Sam's shirt, inside a mossy cradle, she caught its shoulders in her right hand and laid it gently on its back where she could gaze down upon it as it uttered its birthing cry. "A girl!" she gasped, and Sam laughed uncontrollably in relief, and with this announcement the storm promptly ceased, as if timed to end and right on cue, and all was deathly silent. Kaylee gently lowered herself to sit on her heels and wept into her palms. Sam dumped the contents of his bag and handed two small zip ties to Kaylee to tie off the umbilical cord while he flamed the blade of his knife and made the dividing cut. Kaylee then wrapped the baby tight in Sam's shirt, added his hoodie to the swaddling, then scooped her up close and tight to her neck. And rolling fore and aft, she wept some more, cooing to the child in relief and adrenaline withdrawal and adoration, and the placenta birthed suddenly into the moss.
"Sam, everything all right?"
Red Fox hollered from outside the thicket.
"It's a girl,"
Sam shouted back excitedly, expecting Red Fox to reply with congratulations.
"We gotta move, right now," Red Fox barked. "We have to get down the trail in the light. Is the cord cut?"
Yeah, but Kaylee, she needs to rest."
"Kaylee, you can rest down below in 30 minutes, okay?"
Red Fox ordered. Kaylee nodded to Sam that that'd be okay.
"Is the baby wrapped?"
Red Fox asked.
"Yeah,"
Sam replied.
"Good. Both of you grab your stuff. Let's go. Lickety-split."
Sam threw his items back into his pack, shouldered it along with Kaylee's pack, and helped her to stand. He carefully took the newborn while Kaylee pushed a folded bandana between her legs, pulled on her jeans and boots, and together they ducked out of the mossy pine thicket into the afternoon sun. There, Red Fox was waiting, wearing his signature cock-of-the-roost expression, but clearly in a hurry, so they followed, without speaking, as he led back up through the trees to the trailhead to begin their descent. And neither Kaylee nor Sam thought to look over their shoulders at the cliff edge, stripped of trees and rocks and all bulldozed in disarray. Taking up the middle, Sam held the baby tight against his chest while Kaylee stabilized herself with her hands on his shoulders, and this way they picked their way slowly down, down the zigzag trail, down through the granite chimney towards the forest below. Squeezing out of Red Fox's secret cut in the wall, right at dusk, they were greeted by a brilliant orange glow from down in the meadow, and Red Fox hurried off ahead, leaving Sam and Kaylee to proceed at their own pace. But Sam was nervous. Had all those combatants been eliminated or fled? He handed the baby to Kaylee and shifted his rifle to low readiness. As they exited the trees at the top of the meadow, they could see, to their horror, that this orange illumination was not the setting sun, but Red Fox's cabin, fully ablaze and launching 20-foot flames, crackling and popping into the evening sky above. And there, standing as close as a person could stand without combusting, Red Fox was silhouetted against this pyre that had forever been his home. All around, the meadow grasses were flattened by boulders and splintered tree trunks, some staved upright like giant's arrows and others thrown to bounce and roll, and though in the fading light it was hard to tell, it seemed there were bodies crushed or protruding from beneath some of the stone and timber ordnance, and some dismembered, partially concealed in the tall meadow grasses. Though the heat from the flames was fearsome, Sam and Kaylee made their way gingerly through the carnage, awestruck by the ruination, silently reverent at the power that had wrought it. At Red Fox's side, against the wall of fire, Kaylee offered her sympathies. "I'm so sorry, Red Fox," she said. Red Fox turned toward her, appreciatively, then looked down at her baby. Kaylee noticed his curiosity, and so she lowered the bundle from her neck to reveal its creamy, white, sleeping face, illuminated by the towering flames. "Like a new moon," he said. "She is beautiful. Well done. Welcome to our ragtag band, little one. You were battle-born." Then looking up at Kaylee, he asked, "What's her name?" "Hannah," Kaylee replied.